Yes, it is, baby. Welcome into a Thursday edition of Texas All Access. John Harris, your host. We'll have Mark a little bit later in the show. He's going to stop by and play Who's Better. And then I'm going to give you one major PSA for free agency, because it happens every single year, and I almost saw somebody get got today. Well, I'm me, basically, with a major signing that actually didn't happen. I'm going to give you that PSA a little bit later, but 6 o'clock on a Thursday, 6:01 to be exact. That means the General John McClain is in the house. General, how are you doing, my friend?
John, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Man, we got so much to talk about. Let's start with the Texans re-signing Dalton Schultz. So, two-parter. A, surprised at all? B, are the tight ends pretty much done? I did a position breakdown over at HoustonTexans.com, and my stance was kind of, I think it's kind of done with Quatoriano, Brevin, and Dalton coming back. Maybe you supplement with one other guy. But thoughts about whether it's surprising or not, Schultz is coming back, and do you think the tight end room is pretty much done at this point?
I think it's done, other than they'll sign a couple of undrafted guys for training camp. And I think it's good. Schultz is now 12th highest paid, I believe. It wasn't important to him to go out and try to be the highest paid. He's happy here. He fits in well here. Stroud loves him. Coaches love him. He likes the system. They like the dependability that he brings to the table. So that's a big deal. I see people having him take a wide receiver in the first round. I say, don't give me a break. And an offensive tackle, you don't pay attention. And as I wrote on HoustonTexans.com yesterday, and I believe this draft's going to be defense, and more defense because of the murderer's row that they face of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And I think Nick Caserio will sign more of his guys who are going to be free agents before the deadline is Thursday. And I wouldn't be surprised if they don't bring back Devin Singletary. I'm interested, too, about Cam Johnston, still the only player from another team. He's given a contract of more than 2 yards, who's been outstanding. And they've had the best special teams the last 2 years under Frank Ross. They should make every effort to keep those intact because they've been terrific. And so I think that there are several guys they want to bring back, and I think it won't surprise me at all if Caserio is not signed them by the time of the deadline at 3 o'clock.
General, you bring up Nick Caserio signing Cam Johnston. He signed a 3-year deal 3 years ago, going to 21, and it was like 1 or 2 year deals. And so Nick hands out a couple of 3-year deals, and I'm wondering if he's okay. I mean, he might be having like an allergy, allergic reaction. Like, oh my God, I just handed out a 3-year contract. Am I okay? But it was good to have Dalton Schultz re-sign. And it's interesting you brought that up about defense. I think because of the way the draft is also laid out, we could go a long time before we hear a name defensively on Thursday night of the draft. It is going to be quarterbacks, wide receivers, offensive tackles coming off the board. I mean, just rapidly. Those positions are so deep this year that I think you're going to see a lot of that. And I think that's going to actually, General, make it easier, but I think it's going to keep pushing those defensive players down. The Texans sitting at number 23, I think it's going to play right into their hands when they get down to the 23 that they're going to end up signing a defensive lineman. The people that I see, General, that have an offensive tackle being drafted at 23 – I feel like they should lose their journalism card if they have one. I can't for any reason see them drafting a tackle, maybe even this draft, much less in the first round. Your thoughts about those mock drafters that are sending a tackle to the Texans?
Well, they're just not paying attention. I saw one this week had a right tackle because George Fant's contract is expiring.
Right.
And I'm thinking, geez, you never heard of Titus Howard and the contract he signed last year, playing out of position before he got hurt. They got their tackles. The key is, do they want to re-sign Fant? Is Charlie Hecht still going to be around? We got to decide who the swing tackle is going to be. Now, they started 11 different offensive linemen last year because of injuries. Chris Strasser deserves, in his second season as the line coach, a break when it comes to the injuries, because I can't imagine a line had more. I saw other teams whining about how many they had. So I would tweet, here's what the Texans have. And nobody had even close going back to Quisenberry blowing out his knee at the, was the first week of training camp.
Yeah.
And I thought last year, you know, Caserio has gotten a lot of well-deserved recognition for the draft and free agency. But I think he and his staff don't get enough praise for what they did in free agency after the season started. Yep. When they had to replace injured players. And they did it with veterans on one-year deals. A guy like Derek Barnett, would they have gone as far as they did? I mean, he was really good at the end of the year playing for a new contract. A couple of those safeties produced. So that was kind of – and people around the country don't pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they'll look at injuries, but they're not drafting a receiver in the first round. They got two in the third round. They've showed you don't need to do that. I believe when you're talking about the first defensive players taken will be an edge rusher, and then could be Dallas Turner, Jared Verse. The guy that I – and I'm going to have in every mock draft I do for people – them taking a defensive lineman, no matter if Jonathan Grenard comes back or not. I personally think Jonathan's gone. I think he'll get a kind of deal they're not going to pay. And if he leaves, they'll get an end. And a guy I would love to see them get. Last year, they got the Lombardi Award winner, Will Anderson Jr. And I was kind of a part of that. And I saw how impressive he was, the way he treated everybody during his time here, how cooperative, polite, appreciative he was when he won the award. I was on the head table and I ran up to him and I asked him if I could get a couple of quotes. And he said, sure. I said, well, do you think Bryce Young's tall enough to make it in the NFL? Now, I'm sure he thought I was going to ask him about him, but they didn't have a chance to get him. They needed a quarterback. There was no way they were going to get the best defensive prospect in the draft. And he was really good talking about, yes, Bryce will be a success and why. But anyway, he captivated everybody. This year, Lombardi winner, Leatu Leite, from UCLA. And he treated everybody just like Will Anderson Jr. I don't think he's going to be there at 23, but if he were, you talk about bookends who can play, are really such good people who fit D'Amico's culture. Do you think he'll be there at 23?
You know, John, with all the quarterbacks, I didn't. When I went to the Senior Bowl, I had a chance to talk to him after practice, and that's why I like the Senior Bowl. Because when basically the horn is blown and practice is over, you can just go. I was already down on the field. But you can just go grab a player and talk to him. And our buddy Lance Erline was talking to Leatu Leite, and he was talking to him, and so I just rolled up and kind of joined the conversation, told him who I was, and we started kind of talking about pass rushing and just listening to him talk about his craft. It was really, really interesting. I think the one thing about Leatu, there's a couple things. Number one, he's as skilled a pass rusher as we've seen in the draft. There have been athletic ones. There are twitchy ones. They're explosive ones, and Will Anderson was all of that. But Leatu is skilled. Like, the way he uses his hands, his pass rush moves, he's got that Euro cross chop, kind of what Aaron Donald uses inside. He's kind of mastered that on the outside. But his medicals are going to be a big concern. He had a neck injury. He was cleared. We asked him about it, and he said, he kind of looked at us kind of incredulous, like, no, I'm good. He said, Washington just got really kind of nervous. He said, but my doctor had told him the entire time I was okay, ready to go. And Washington just wouldn't clear him. And finally, he just said, look, I'm going to find a place to get cleared. And UCLA was that spot. He played for 2 years. But that's going to be a concern. The medicals are going to be a concern. And the other one is, I don't know that he's overly physical, John. Like, you know, Will, you watch and you see next pop. Like, when he hits you, he strikes you. Latu's more kind of a skilled pass rusher type. Now, he made a lot of plays against the run. But he does that with his athleticism, the way he uses his hands. Like, he's very skilled in that way. I do think there's a chance he could get to 23. I think. Because of all those quarterbacks and wide receivers and tackles, John, I do think there's a chance that he gets down there or he gets in the range where trading up 3-4 spots is not going to be as big a penalty as it might be in other situations. Like, I don't think you have to get all the way up to 11 to get him. I think he, you know, gets down to 17, 18. Maybe Nick wants to go up and get him if that's the guy that they end up wanting to get. And I think he's definitely going to be in that mix. Chop Robinson from Penn State is going to be in that mix. But I know there are a few people that are just hell bent on getting a receiver in that first round, General. You say no.
No.
I know kind of the reasoning behind it, but if they did draft the receiver at 23, I mean, it's not a bad thing, but I just think they're going to end up missing out on some defensive players they wouldn't be able to get in later rounds.
And D'Amico is a former defensive player, former defensive coach. He makes the calls for the defense. And Nick Caserio tries to do whatever he can to help D'Amico get the kind of players he wants. The 49ers did not have a linebacker or defensive back starting in the Super Bowl who was drafted in the first or second round.
Right.
The highest were thirds. So I think their philosophy of stockpiling with high picks, and if you're going to get a free agent like Juwan Hargrove, I think that's what they're going to do here. Because think every time we listen to D'Amico talk about his defense, it all started up front. He has exactly what he wants in each of those positions. I'm hoping to get Sheldon Rankins back. If they were to draft a tackle, I'd like to see him get Zerzon Johnny Newton from Illinois. Yep. Mm-hmm. And, I wouldn't even mind Darius Robinson from Missouri.
Right.
He's played inside and outside. But yep. I'm also curious if a corner were there and if Caserio had a corner rated higher than lineman, he's going to take the corner. But I also think you can get a corner in the second round because it's another deep position. But when you're playing the teams that they're playing, they need to load up on defense. And one of the good things about safety is a great position for free agency because teams just don't value safeties anymore. They're almost becoming like running backs. Tight ends are getting that way. So I think that Caserio is going to get a safety who is a starter to come in here opposite Jalen Petrie since Jimmy Ward gets hurt a lot. And linebacker, too. I'm beginning to wonder if linebacker is going to get paid. If Blake Cashman can do a deal like Schultz did, that he's comfortable with to stay here because he earned it. I just don't see another team giving Blake Chapman a big contract because he's a 4-3 linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely. And along those lines, General, with Cashman, Rankins, Grenard, I don't know if I'm missing, those are the top three, and Nelson, those four, in your John McClain crystal ball, which one of those do you think returns to the Texans? You mentioned earlier Grenard. I think you're right. I think John's going to go find that the market is very appeasing and pleasing for edge rushers. So I think he's going to find a lot of people interested. And I don't know if the Texans are going to want to pay that number. Maybe they will. I don't know. But of those four that played a pretty big role in last year's defense, which ones do you think come back?
Well, let me start with the guys who are 30, Rankins and Nelson, 31. They're the most likely to not get a lot of money from another team.
Right.
And Nelson has played better here in his two seasons than he played in all his other stops. So he fits the system very well. And they got the most out of him. I'd like to see him back. You know, Desmond King's contract's up too. So is Tavier Thomas. But because it all starts up front, and if you don't have pressure, and I thought Rankins played better than he's played since earlier in his career against the run and getting six sacks, I would say him first and then Nelson second, Cashman third, because I think there's a chance if they want to, they can get all three of those guys back because they're not going to cost a lot of money. And I also think that when you're evaluating those positions, when you're 31-year-old cornerback, you're not going to get a lot of money. When you're a 28-year-old linebacker who's had one injury for a year last season, you're not going to get a lot of money. And now Rankins was former number one pick, and D'Amico loved him. He thought he would be ideal to play right tackle the one he wanted it. And so I think they got the best chance of bringing him back first.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch those. If the Texans, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the splat or the money the Texans have under the cap and all that. And Mark and I have sort of talked about this. General, if the Texans do indeed make a splash signing of somebody outside the organization, you know, bringing somebody in, maybe not so much the player, maybe a player in your mind, but just the position that the Texans might make a splash signing. Is it on the defensive line? I know Sean's talked about that. We talked about that a little bit today. Christian Wilkins being a guy that fits that ilk. Where do you think the splash or the splurge would be for the free agent money, if you will? I don't think it's a lot of guys. It might just only be one. It may not even be one. But if it is, or if there is a splash signing, where do you think it might be? What position group do you think it might be?
I'm very, very leery of teams not bringing back players. You can bring back any player you want. You know, if the Broncos had wanted to bring back Justin Simmons, they could have redone his contract, pushed some cap money and kept him. Yeah. But he's 31 years old. They don't want him. They've already put out a quote thanking him for his service. And because, you know, sometimes these guys get cut and then they turn around and sign new contracts. So when I'm thinking about them, Christian Wilkins would be great. I watched all those Hard Knocks in season.
Yep.
He was tremendous, but I'm suspicious. With your two starting ends coming off torn ACLs, why are you not signing your best defensive player? Now, they still might.
Right.
And everybody thought Chris Jones was gone, but they may still re-sign him. The cheapest splash would be Saquon Barkley. Probably get him a splash, $10 million a year.
Yeah.
Do they want to do that? They still got to bring back Devin Singletary. Caserio and D'Amico both made it clear to Combine they want Devin Singletary back. He's not going to carry the ball 20 times a game. Do they think Damian Pierce can adjust to the zone scheme in his second year? But if they were going to make a splash because it's a skill position, it would help Stroud. I would say Barkley.
Yeah, that's kind of the way that I think, too. I mean, I kind of would like for it to be Christian Wilkins. I mean, I think that would be a nice fit, especially if you're not able to bring Rankins back for whatever reason. You really got to bolster it up front. But I kind of feel like running back is a place where you can get one of those top three guys and really not break the bank. As I said the other day to Mark, if you just use the Jonathan Taylor deal, and I think that, and I would imagine if I'm Barkley's agent, I'm asking for that at least 3 years, $43 million. So basically $14 million APY. Well, at that point, you could have gotten, and you could get Barkley at $14 million APY, Schultz at 12, that's 26. Well, that's what Mike Evans is getting from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is 26. So you basically could get Barkley and Schultz for what you would have got Mike, and congratulations to Mike. I just didn't think it was going to end up being the right thing to do. General, yesterday we saw in Buffalo, we saw a purge of some names that some people know, some that, you know, people don't know, but if you've been around the NFL for a while, you know these names. Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morse, DeAndre Hardy, and then I don't know if it was yesterday or earlier. He didn't play last year because of an accident, but Nyheim Hines. The Bills were in cap hell, and they let go a significant number of players from those teams. What did you make of Buffalo having to do that? And I don't think this is true, but I've heard some people say, oh, that's a sign that Buffalo's dead and buried. Do you buy that?
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Yes. My goodness, they still got talent on that team, starting with Josh Allen. Mitch Morse played for the Chiefs, second-round pick, started every game, goes to Buffalo, starts every game. He could re-sign. He was making like $9 million a year. He could sign for three with some incentives based on if he stays healthy and what they do in the playoffs. You know, White has been hurt. He's not the same player. He's not the same player as he was like in 2019 when he was here and the Texans beat them in the wild card round. So I think Buffalo has got guys that they're ready to go with. And once again, if they're getting rid of them, if they thought they could play, they would keep them. So people that are hitting the panic button, I heard a national guy today saying the window's closed, they need to start over. And I'm thinking, geez, you've got to be kidding me.
That's ridiculous. Talking to our buddy Sal Capaccio, who's a sideline reporter for the Bills, and he said that Brandon Bean made a comment, I don't know, the last couple of years. He said, as long as we have Josh Allen, the window is open. And that is
absolutely.
It's absolutely the truth. Absolutely the truth. A little bit of, I don't say minor news because it's in the division, but Ian Rappaport just tweeting or posting a little while ago, the Jaguars are closing in on a restructured contract for guard Brandon Scherff, allowing them to keep a big part of their O-line in Jacksonville. Scherff at a cap number of $24 million, and they just re-signed Ezra Cleveland. So they got both their guards sticking around. But General, Calvin Ridley, do you think he stays in Jacksonville, or do you think he's going to take money and go elsewhere?
What did any of those guys help them do last season?
I agree.
Except blow the division title, when they were heavily favored and let the Texans get ahead of them. And it's great you got your guards back. You don't go to the Super Bowl, the playoffs, because of your guards. Ridley, if they re-sign him, it's a second-round pick for Atlanta as opposed to a three. I'm not sure they're losing the tight end. I'm guessing they're not going to keep him because they want to protect the two, because they still got a lot of things they need on that franchise. And it's interesting that Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be a generational quarterback, and he's had some highs and lows, but he has not been a generational quarterback. Right. And I don't know what's holding him back. They've given him a running game. They worked on his offensive line, on wide receivers, but he just has not been a generational quarterback. If you asked anybody in the NFL, would you rather have Trevor Lawrence or would you rather have C.J. Stroud? And only people say Lawrence would probably be in a Jaguars building, and even then they probably have their fingers crossed because it's not that he's been a disappointment. He just hadn't been worth the first overall pick. And maybe he'll have a breakout year this year, but it's interesting because people are saying Doug Peterson's on the hot seat after one mediocre season, after he was the toast of the NFL.
Yeah, definitely. I just saw something post from my buddy Josh Norris over at Underdog Fantasy. They did a breakdown of Trevor's game against the Chargers, and I'm like, you know, that was the 2022 season, guys. I mean, maybe you should move on to 2023.
That doesn't mean squat.
Exactly. Like going back and doing something from 2 years ago is, I don't know, interesting.
Means you're reaching. That's what it means. You're reaching.
Yeah, that's true. General, what do you make of Russell Wilson's options after being, well, it looks like he is going to be released. It looks like it's a post-June 1 release for Russell Wilson. He still can, once the new league year starts, he can negotiate with other teams, find another team. It's just the salary cap, how it hits the Broncos will be post-June 1 and how they can split it up, etc. But what do you make of what will happen for Russell Wilson? Is he a starter next year? And is there a good situation for him next year? The Steelers sound like they're interested. Who's to say? But how do you look at the Russell Wilson situation? Is he cooked? Is he washed? Or do you think he's still got something left?
He had 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and a 98 rating. But in their 7 victories, he completed 40% of his passes at or behind the line of scrimmage. So you've got to have an offense that fits what he can do. He doesn't throw the deep ball anymore. He's still pretty mobile. He was definitely better this year with Sean Payton than he had been with Nathaniel Hackett, who may be the worst coach in history. And I think Pittsburgh's ideal. They got the culture. They got the head coach. They got 2 running backs, got a tight end, receivers. They've got a good defense with a great pass rush. If I'm him, I call Mike Tomlin, say I'll take the bare minimum because I'm going to make $37 million anyway. And he needs to go to Pittsburgh. And because I don't think anybody up there has the confidence that Kenny Pickett can take them back to the playoffs and win based on what they've seen. And I'll tell you something weird, John, to me. Wilson is being painted like something, like he's bad, like he's a bad person. You know, we see guys beat up women that don't get raked over the coals like Russell Wilson is, and nobody can get specific. You know, so what he had a parking place? So what he had his own coach and an office? That should be on the Broncos for giving it to him 2 years ago, and then they cut it out this year. But people are treating him so bad, and I just don't understand it. I hope he goes there. I hope he plays well and he has a good season and he can stick it. Tell people, stick it where the sun don't shine.
Absolutely. General, what you got up on the site, HoustonTexans.com?
Well, you can go to HoustonTexans.com, click on news, and there's all of our stuff there. I've been trying to retweet everything I see you do. I've got a column about what they might do in the draft coming off the combine posted yesterday. I've got one tomorrow about something that doesn't get a lot of attention, but the familiarity that Caserio has with D'Amico and Matt Burke and Bobby Slowick to get the kind of players they want compared to this time last year when he didn't really know. They're talking to him and his scouts, but now they know, and that's invaluable to have them back. And I think that familiarity with each other will help them enormously in free agency and the draft. And I'm going to do one Monday when the legal tampering period begins about what deep what players are candidates to come here. And I'm going to start with the safeties. John, thank you very much. As always, always a lot of fun. We don't need that other guy. What's his name?
Yeah, I
forgot his name. It's been so long since I've talked to him.
Anyways,
great talking to you.
Absolutely, General. Thank you. And obviously, thank you for everything at HoustonTexans.com. It's great, great stuff. I've got my position breakdowns you want to check out. I did tight ends. I just dropped that a little while ago. I did secondary a couple days ago. So we got great stuff for you. HoustonTexans.com. Both Johns, Drew Doherty, we got you taken care of. That guy, Mark Vandermeer, will be with me next as we will play Who's Better? That's next right here on Houston Texans on Texans Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a Thursday edition of Texans All Access. John Harrison, Mark Vandermeer with you. And it is time for More Likely to Happen. Mark.
Johnny, let's do it.
More Likely to Happen.
All right, first one, More Likely to Happen. Motor back or motor not back? Pretty simple. Is he back or not?
I say motor is back.
Ooh.
I just feel I've felt all along in this process, even if they looked at a different running back. And of course, today you see, ooh, there's mutual interest between Barkley and the Eagles. I mean, okay.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I've heard so much of that. Well, there's mutual interest. Hey, would you like to go to the Texans? Yes. Would you like to go to the Eagles? Yes. Would you like to go to this team? Yes. Well,
yeah.
I mean, anyways.
Would you like to have Barkley? Yeah, for like a million. I mean, maybe they want him. I mean, I don't know, but that's actually coming up.
I just don't want to get in a bidding war and all of a sudden you're paying $18 million a year for a running back. But either way, even though I think Barkley will give you, and I think this is the thing about Barkley, but I think you get this with Motor too. Use Motor as pass receiver. You can use him in a passing game. You can use him in a significant amount in a passing game too. So I just feel like, and I saw Diana Rossini's tweet today saying that most GMs are essentially saying that linebackers, tight ends, running backs, safeties, the market's going to be depressed like it always is. Like there's going to be really no change. Okay, well, if that's the case, then I think you're probably going to be able to bring Motor back on a pretty team-friendly deal.
Right.
And hopefully that he likes as well. I feel like the two deals that have been done with Dalton Schultz and Kymie Fairbairn thus far, it's been really, like you look at him and go, yeah, it's about right.
Yeah.
I think it's right. And I think if they do that for Motor, I think bringing him back is dead on. I know a lot of people talk about, oh, the running game, and the running game needed to be better. But if Motor had started from the beginning of the year, and they had the offensive level. First of all, if he had started from the beginning of the year, maybe he's an 1,100, 1,200-yard rusher, and there's more, because people understand numbers and fantasy and all that, there'd be more kind of a, you know, not uproar, but there would be this more excitement about bringing Devin back. I want to bring him back. I think he's exciting for this team. I think he's the right fit for this team. Whether he's the number two, the one, the 1A, the 1B, I don't care. Just having him on this team is good, and he will come through in big situations. We've seen that. So I'm going Motor coming back.
All I know is he led the Bills in rushing in 2022. Good Buffalo team.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a really good back for them.
Mm-hmm.
He comes here, and he's barely a blip. Hey, he contributed. But there were games where he couldn't get off the sideline, right?
Falcons game, he didn't even get a touch.
Didn't get a touch in that game. And then eventually he touches the ball a lot, week 9, and he ends up with his best year ever. I think that says something.
Yep.
So no matter where he goes, he's going to make somebody happy. All right, let's get to the next one here.
More likely to happen.
Also running back related, and I guess it's motor related too, because we know your response on that. But more likely to happen, you get one of the big three or not. The big three meaning Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs. Those are the big three. One of those or no, more likely to happen.
I think they end up with one of those three.
Ooh.
I do.
And Motor. Oh, there's going to be a parade.
Absolutely.
We're shutting down Richmond. We're going downtown. We're doing whatever we have to do to throw a parade over this.
I just feel like going back to what Rossini had said, and I just have gotten that feeling too that I feel like there might be a bidding war for one of the three, maybe two of the three, but there's going to be one or two of those three that is like, yo, where are my offers, man? Where are my offers coming from? And then all of a sudden, you swoop in, you give them a fair offer, and they go, boy, we've had mutual interest in one another for a while. Let's do this. So I do think it's going to be one of the three. For some reason, I don't know, maybe it's because the Texans haven't, I guess. ever signed like the number one free agent? Have they ever done that?
Well, they've signed expensive free agents.
No, I know that. They've signed expensive
Amon
free
Green
agents.
Amon Green was a luxurious free agent signing. Yep. He was a four-time Pro Bowler, but he was done. He got here, and he was done. And that's what the risk is. At running back, it's so glaring. It's glaring at anything.
Right.
Quarterback is the most glaring if it doesn't work out. Running back, though, who are you running instead of this guy? Although, the year they signed Amon Green was 2007, and they ran the ball well that year with a cast of characters not named Amon Green. So it just happened that way.
Yeah, my point is, I'm not saying you got to sign the number one running back just because, well, that'd be kind of cool because you haven't done it before, but you just got to find the right guy.
Yeah.
And if that right guy is Austin Ekeler, fantastic. If you think that right guy is somebody else, fine. I've heard Landry and John talk about this a little bit, and I can't remember who it is, but one of them is kind of like it's going to be Josh Jacobs. And I could see that, man. You put Josh Jacobs with Devin Singletary, and you got something.
I'd be happy with either.
You have something, so I'd be good either way.
Any of these
will
make me happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could see the pluses in any one of them.
And it seems to make sense that that's the direction. When I just remember coming back here from Baltimore the Monday after the game, and we're sitting out there, and D'Amico's very clear about the two things that he was really needed improvement. And he mentioned them pretty clearly, the running game and the defensive line. And we talked about defensive line a lot. Maybe we'll get there. But I just feel like the running game, what can you change in the running game? Well, you could change only so much in the offensive line because you have so many assets, be it money or draft capital, in the assets on the offensive line. There's only so much you can do there. Now, there's some reconfiguring that you can do. And I think that will happen. And I think that will help. But I think you also have to have more in the backfield that fit this particular system. I think all three of those guys can fit the system in different ways. But I feel like with Motor, it makes it that much more exciting what you could have back there.
There's a level of performance that D'Amico wants to achieve with that D-line, with that defensive front.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a front that had the all-time greatest number of sacks in the history of the franchise, yet still not enough for him.
Yep.
He wants to see something really special up there, and I cannot wait till he's satisfied because that means you know it's going to be super good. All right, that was the running back portion of More Likely to Happen. Let's get into some quarterback stuff, which means it doesn't really involve the Texans that much, but it involves competition.
More Likely to Happen.
All right, More Likely to Happen. Minnesota keeps Cousins. Cousins goes to Atlanta. I will also let you pick door number three, which is anywhere else.
Ooh.
So which is the most likely of these three? Minnesota, so he stays. Atlanta, is he really shopping for a house there? So he goes. And we have every other team on the board as a possibility for a team looking for a quarterback on the board.
I would imagine there are because as you hear the question, you're like, okay, well, it's 2 versus 30. But when you look at the 30 teams that have the possibility of signing Kirk Cousins, how many of them are out because they've already got their quarterback?
Yeah.
Probably a good 15 to 17 at a minimum, maybe about 20. They already have their quarterback. Then you have some that are just going to draft the quarterback. No question. So that's not going to happen. Then of those that are remaining, how many of them have the salary cap to be able to handle a contract with Kirk Cousins?
And how many would he possibly say yes to?
And then how many could he possibly say yes to? And so you almost take that 30 down to about one or two, if that.
You know what I was thinking the other day? Why not Tampa? Everyone talks about Baker and Tampa coming back, right? But until a deal is made, why not Kirk Cousins?
The only thing I could think about is I don't know what their cap situation is. I don't know. Yeah. I just don't know what it
is. You have to make a lot of room. But you're going to have to make a lot of room for Baker.
No, absolutely. So
that was my thinking at the time.
So Tampa Bay would make some sense. I'll give you one other one that makes some sense.
Okay.
And the more I think about it, I'm like, New England.
For Cousins?
New England, yeah. Because I think New England's got cap room. They've got obviously
a need.
Are they
good enough, though, to attract him?
Well, that's a great point. But if you bring back Cousins, maybe you sign Michael Onwenu, who they, I think, would like to bring back. You then, at number three, can do a number of things in the draft. You can trade down. You could trade down three spots with the Giants. Sounds like the Giants want to get a quarterback. Imagine that. Maybe they've traded down with the Giants. Maybe they trade down somewhere else. They can then get a receiver Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers. They can get him a little bit later. Although there's some that think Nabers goes above Marvin Harrison Jr., whatever. Or you can sit at three and take the best receiver you think imaginable. Mm-hmm. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, or Roma Dunze. You have options. So New England might not be a bad option for him. That said, it sounds as if Atlanta might be the better fit. So okay. I'm going to end up saying Atlanta. I don't think he's going back to Minnesota. I think everybody on the Minnesota side of things is already. I mean, Paul Allen came and talked to us all about quarterbacks because I think they have their sights set on somebody else other than Kirk Cousins. The Vikings know what the contract demands are going to be. But, man, there's a lot going into it. So I'm going to go Atlanta for Kirk Cousins. And the next behind it, I'm going to say New England. I'm going to say New England is the second one behind it.
How good are they going to be?
Who? New England?
New England.
The defense is good. They'll keep Duggar, Matt Judon. They're losing a couple pieces defensively, but nothing that you go, oh, man, what are they going to do? They'll get Christian Gonzalez back at corner, who had a great start to his rookie campaign before he got hurt and lost for the rest of the year. But they need a guy pulling the trigger that knows what he's doing. Ramondre Stevenson did a really nice job running the ball. You know, they had Zeke Elliott as a free agent. But they've got to get some people he can throw it to. So if you get Cousins, that takes an offense up. If you get Cousins, maybe you get another free agent receiver that says, hey, yeah, okay, I'll go to New England because I'll play with, I'll want to play with that guy. And I do think, just like here, I do think there will be a Gerard Mayo effect of wanting to be around a guy, a young guy, energetic guy that's taken over, who's played the game, knows it, has a good positive vibe. I think that's going to be part of it as well. So the more I think about it, the more I feel like New England's going to be a decent opportunity. But it's just in Atlanta, he's got all his weapons already. Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. I mean, he's got everybody there. So he may want to, and the offensive line's good. So he may want to do that. I don't know. He's not going to give Atlanta a hometown discount or anything, but that's going to be an interesting one. When the Cousins domino falls, I think some of the others will. Justin Fields, where does he go? And then obviously, does Russell Wilson have an opportunity to be a starting quarterback?
Funny you should bring up.
Is Russell Wilson going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL in 2024?
He'll start games. He will not be the starter.
Okay.
How about that?
That's exactly what I think.
He might be a bridge guy.
I could see that.
This is a good situation for him because he can go wherever he needs to because he doesn't have to have that contract on his back.
Yep. More likely to happen.
All right, funny you should bring up the Bears. More likely to happen.
Okay.
Franchise difference maker quarterback, Caleb Williams or anybody else? You got to put your money down right now. Who are you putting your money down on? I'll give you the field or Caleb.
Caleb.
You are that convinced that Caleb he's more likely. See, I didn't even make you declare it.
Yeah.
More likely to be a franchise difference-making quarterback than anybody else. You could say the field and be right.
Yeah, true. But I think Caleb Williams is my number one quarterback for a reason. He's one of the highest rated I've had on my board for a while. I think he gives you everything you want, a modern NFL quarterback. And I think all this other stuff is just sort of overblown. I mean, look, is he going to go to Chicago and all of a sudden tear it up? And there's probably a reason with Chicago where they've not had a quarterback make, they had one quarterback make one Pro Bowl since 1985. That's your guy, Mitchell Trubisky.
And Jay Cutler did not make a Pro Bowl with the Bears.
Nope.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
They went to an NFC Championship the Broncos. Game.
Yeah. So it's been one quarterback since, and that's it. And it was Mitchell Trubisky, and he was the number two overall pick. But we know how that turned out in Chicago. But I feel like Caleb's made us some different stuff, and I think people will find that out. And I feel like his ability to make some magic happen is kind of coinciding with the Bears also getting some weapons around him. Obviously, DJ Moore was added. We'll see what they do with the number nine pick. Maybe that's a receiver. Maybe they get more offensive line help. They drafted Darnell Wright last year. Jury's probably still out of whether he's the right guy or not. But I feel like things are starting to come together for the Bears. My only concern with Caleb is if they don't have a great year as Caleb's kind of learning the ropes, do the Bears make a change with Matt Eberflus? And then all of a sudden, there's now a change. He's got to learn a different offense going into year two. And
Johnny,
that happened a million times.
They won seven games last year.
I know.
Same as Minnesota.
Right.
So if the Bears win in seven games again, usually when you're breaking in a rookie quarterback, no matter who it is,
right?
Like this year, we would have been okay with seven wins and said, all right, progress. Let's see what happens in the sophomore season.
Right.
Instead, we got one of the greatest seasons ever for the Texans. But with the Bears, they go seven again, people start looking at Eberflus.
You're the problem.
Right. Right. And that's my point, is the fact that if he gets run out, now all of a sudden you bring in a new head coach, and then there's a new offensive system, more than likely, and now you're resetting that whole thing. And I go back to Alex Smith. Alex Smith, when he was drafted by the 49ers, he played in five different offenses in his first five years. Five different offensive coordinators. And you wonder why a quarterback can't develop with all that going on. And I worry about that with Bryce, too. He's now in a second offense, a second head coach, a second offensive coordinator. There's got to be some continuity. And that's kind of the only worry I have for Caleb. He'll be fine. I think all this other stuff is just kind of overblown. I mean, look, his dad's a little bit of a helicopter dad, so you got to deal with that. But I think Caleb's a good
dude.
Let
me rephrase.
He's not going to get in trouble, and he's a modern NFL quarterback.
Let me rephrase quickly. You have to determine who's going to be more successful. So you could pick the field and say, and just take your shot. You don't have to declare who it's going to be, because Drake May might turn out to be whatever or whoever. All of a sudden, Sam Martin is way better than we ever thought. Still go with Caleb?
I'm still going with Caleb.
Okay.
I'm still going with Caleb. I think he's that big a talent. I think there is talent around him. He's being dropped into a decent situation. So I'm going to go with Caleb Williams, because he's number one on my Harris 100. The Harris 100 should be out hopefully about midweek next week, is my hope.
Good.
That's my hope. FootballTakeOver.com. Make sure you check that out. All right, we get back. Let's go around the NFL. A lot of things happening as we near the start of the new league year. That's next on Texans All Access.
Yes, it is. John Harris coming at you on a Thursday evening, just prior to Sean Bajani and Patrick Creighton taking you through the next few hours after me. I'm saying it now because I know by the end of the show, I'll look up and go, oh, my God, I've been talking so much, I forgot to preview those two guys. And it's as Patrick tweeted out either last night or the night before, I just happened to see it pop through. Only live and local show going in the evening. Bada bing, bada bang. Make sure you check it out. Those two guys got a good thing going. And Chris Santiago. Chris, you're on the ones and twos for them, are you not? You're producing for them, are you? Right? That's correct. So Chris will be taking you through that as well. So make sure you're listening to those guys, especially if you want live and local. If you want to listen to some jackasses nationally, well, that's on you. That's just a loss. Sean and Patrick will be coming up after me in just a few minutes here. Now, I mentioned earlier in the show, I was going to give you a PSA. We're going to go around the NFL. A lot happening. I mentioned to the general, the Jaguars are locking up their offensive line. They got four or five pieces coming back. They're already Cam Robinson in the fold. Anton Harrison was a rookie, played right tackle. But they get their two guards done today as they restructure with Brandon Scherff, one of the better guards in the league, and then Ezra Cleveland, a guy they traded for. I think they traded for him last year, and he ended up getting into the starting lineup and playing, I think, the last probably six or seven games of the year. And as somebody tweeted or posted from Jacksonville, said four or five pieces coming back. I almost reposted it or posted it and quote tweeted and said, good. it's not a great offensive line, but, you know, whatever. They have their moments. They definitely have their moments. There's no doubt. Now, my PSA is this. We're coming up on, as I've heard the guys on the station talk for weeks now, but as it's gotten closer, this is going to be one of the most exciting weekends, weeks, that we're probably going to have as Texas fans in a long time. I would tell you that last year's draft was really, really exciting, but I think going in, there were still a lot of questions about what the Texans were going to do. Number two, there was nobody really in the city was all like, oh, yeah, it's a lock, C.J. Stroud. Yeah, we get excited about it. I mean, there was, oh, no, we're not getting Bryce. Wipe the tears away. It turned out it was one of the most exciting nights we've had in a long time. But free agency coming up, is so much is going to be happening. And there are so many people out there wanting to report and get it out right now. Get it out. This player is signing here. This player is signing there. Be careful. Be careful what you fall for. I saw this today, and now I can't find it, so I guess maybe it's been taken down. But it was a tweet saying that the Chiefs had re-signed Chris Jones for $116 million over 4 years, which is $29 million per year. The tweet itself, like, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Kansas City has been negotiating with him. Chris Jones himself had tweeted very cryptically a picture of he and Andy Reid, and it just said KC... So that seemed to lead to, okay, maybe there's some things happening. And so when I saw this tweet, and this tweet had been seen 752,000 times, and it got on my timeline, and I just happened to look at the name, and it was Adam Schefter's name spelled with an E at the end, Adam Schefter-y, and he has 255 followers. And that thing had been retweeted and liked tens of thousands of times, and it wasn't true. Now, it might be true that Chris Jones signs a contract with the Chiefs. That might end up happening. But I'm telling you, with everything that you have going on with the Texans and that could be going on over the next how many of your days as we start the new league year, legal tampering starts on Monday, new league year starts on Wednesday at 3, there's going to be a lot of information coming out. Make sure the Twitter handles and the people that are posting it or tweeting it are legit. Don't fall for the fake handle. Don't do it. I saw a lot of those people fall for it today. So make sure you don't fall for it. Make sure it's Adam Schefter. It's Rap Sheet. Okay? It's McClain on NFL. It's Jay Harris Football, Texans Voice, Doherty Drew. Make sure that you are taking your legit accounts. Don't fall for the fool that's got 200 Twitter followers and then is telling you, oh yeah, the Texans have just signed Chris Jones to a 10-year, $550 million contract and you're going to lose your mind. Just be careful. That's my PSA. It's just be careful. That's all you have to do. Hey, big thanks to the General John McClain for joining me, of course. Mark Vandermeer for being here. We'll be back tomorrow as John Weeks and Indy Kalu. That's going to be great from the Texas OG podcast. And also, we got the Voices of the AFC South. So that's all tomorrow. So make sure you check that out right here. Big thanks to Chris. Make sure you listen to Sean and Patrick coming up next right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you guys. And as always, go Texans.